Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Today, I'm here today with John Miller, using Qigong to escape cycles in suffering. Internationally renowned Qigong practitioner and facilitator and speaker, he's passionate about making Qigong fun, accessible, and relevant to a modern Western audience. His Qigong journey has taken him to UK, Europe, Australasia, China, 7 different schools and 4 different systems. He teaches retreats and training with Three Monkeys School of Qigong. I hand you over to John Miller.
Thank you. That was a bit of an introduction. So, I feel as if I've got something to live up to now. Welcome. Thanks for coming along. And thank you to the Embodiment Conference. It's an astonishing thing. It's just the scale of it is mind blowing. And I don't know whether you've been catching up on recordings and things, but there's just some brilliant stuff out there. What I'd like to do today is a mix of practice and sharing ideas. I think it's really powerful to share ideas, and I would encourage you to ask questions. I'm going to be a bit away from my tiny little screen that I've got here, so I'm completely reliant on Caroline. Sorry, I've not even got my glasses on. I'm just needing to check. Caroline, oh, phew, got that right. I'm going to be completely reliant on Caroline to ask the to pass on the questions, but there is space for questions. There is space for comments, so please dive in. What I'd like to do today is give you a flavor of one piece of Qigong that I think is really important, and to give you something to take away with you and work with. I want it to be something that's really simple and powerful. And it may be something you take on as a practice. It may be something you integrate into your practice. So just before we kick off, it would be great to find out a bit about who you are, who's watching this. So Maggie, could I ask you to launch a poll? And the poll is asking, what level of experience of Qigong have you got? So we've gone for none, a little, some, and loads. And if you wouldn't mind filling that in. And while that's being filled in, I'll give you a quick introduction to me. I got it horribly wrong about 10 years ago. That sounds like a really bad introduction, but having had the big up that Caroline gave me at the beginning, I'm going to hold up my hand and say, I messed up. And I messed up in a fairly spectacular way. I was teaching Qigong part-time. I was working in IT at the time, and I've been doing that for years. And it got to the point that I was experiencing about 4 full days of migraine in a working week. And I just couldn't cope anymore. So as everybody who's trained in traditional Chinese medicine does, I went off to my GP and I said, what's going on here? And explained the work scenario. And she said to me, how many weeks have you been in this work situation? And I said, 4 years. And she said, you must be doing something incredibly good to maintain this for 4 years. And I'm sitting there thinking, I must be doing something really stupid to keep at it for 4 years and to destroy my health to the point that I had. And this is really the point that I'm coming to today. And the point is that we need to understand what we're doing with our practice. We need to have the awareness to actually work with it. So I can just see that the polls come back, and we've got a fairly even spread. I'm ignoring the bit that says loads because that's a little bit intimidating. I will just sort of go with it, see how this fits, see how this lands. So Yeah. So following this piece that I started to fall apart, I then started researching. I started looking at stress, anxiety, and it was one of the best opportunities I think I've ever had. Because it was the opportunity to actually start to pull things apart and understand them from different perspectives. And one of the things that I started looking at was the concept of qi. And before we start getting into what is qi, what is qigong, I'd like to just point you back to one of the other speakers. There was a guy called Barnaby Kent. If you want to find out what qi is, go and have a look at his talk. It is brilliant. All the stuff that I wanted to include but wasn't eloquent enough to, he says. So I've skipped that whole section. So, as a way into practice, what I'd like to do, or as a way into the session, what I'd like to do is start by sharing a little bit of practice with you. And then I want to come back to this idea of what is qi, what are these cycles that we're going through, and what relevance has it got to qi? So, and you will have to excuse any rattles and bangs that are going on. It's a little bit windy here in Suffolk, and so the yurt may flap around a little bit. So, what I'd like to ask you to do to start with is just take a comfortable seated position. And as you sit, allow the top of your head, allow Bahui, the crown, just to gently lift. We're looking to open the space in the neck. And then allow yourself to notice either your sitting bones or your feet on the floor. You can do this standing as well if you would like. And then just allow the breath to settle. Take a moment to quieten the breath. Okay. The first thing that we do within the practice of Qigong is we relax. So what I'd like to do is just invite you to move your neck. Doesn't matter how, I'm not into accuracy on this, just soften the neck. Get the neck moving. Open up the space between the vertebrae. And then once you've released some space in the neck, once you've softened the neck, bring the awareness down into the mid-spine. And for the mid-spine, what I'm going to ask you to do is just open the shoulder blades and squeeze the shoulder blades. Open and squeeze. Open and squeeze. And then we're going to take this into just gently rolling the shoulders. So from the mid spine, releasing out through the shoulders, softening the shoulders, softening the elbows, the wrists, the hands and the fingers, just relaxing from mid spine out to tips of fingers. And then to help that relaxation travel through the body, just an idea. And the idea is lift qi up. Let the hands rise up. And on the out breath, release down through the body, down through the whole of the spine. Relax the spine. A few times with the breath. Then the next time the hands come down in front of the abdomen, in front of the belly, allow them to pause. Hands just in front of the abdomen, however is comfortable. Whole body relaxed. Whole body relaxed. When the body is relaxed, the mind can quieten. And we can notice the space inside. Maybe it's the space between thoughts. Maybe it's just the ease of the breath. And what I'd like to invite you to do then is a gesture. And the gesture is to expand the awareness out into the space that you're sitting in. Just open the arms and imagine the awareness being all around you. You can spot everything that's happening around you. Not doing anything about it, just being aware of it. And then I'd like to invite you to open the awareness slightly further. And as you do this, there's an idea of all of us in this webinar, all of us, whether we're here now or we're connecting later, we're all connected. We're all in this together. Everyone supported. Everyone supporting this connection, this chi field. And we'll just enjoy that connection for a few breaths. And then we can make another gesture, which is expanding the awareness out beyond this connection, out into blue sky, out into Hunyuanji, a space where everything is connected and anything is possible. And then in this space, we can draw the mind back, back into the abdomen, back into our center, with the intention for today. And the intention for this session is simply creating space for new things, creating space for chi to flow well. Then relax the hands, ease back. Welcome back. Okay, so it's really important when we start practicing Qigong to actually start to develop this level of awareness and enjoy this type of awareness. But before we sort of get into this, there's a number of people who said they've got no experience of Qigong. So I want to talk a little bit about what Qigong is, and then I want to start to pull it apart a little bit. So a quick introduction to Qigong. Okay, if you Google it, what you'll find is something along the lines of, it's a form of moving meditation related to, no, it's a form of exercise related to Tai Chi. I dislike this description. I think that what that description is if you're walking across a park in China and you're going, what's he doing over there? And you look it up in the dictionary, it's like, oh, that must be Qigong. It looks a bit like Tai Chi, might be Qigong. If you dig a little bit deeper, what you'll find is people say, oh, Qi is energy, Gong is work. So therefore it's energy work. Well, I hate to be picky here, but what? What does that actually mean? It still doesn't quite get to the question of why. And I think if we look at the question of why do we practice Qigong, we need to look at two aspects of it. We need to look at the term Gong and we need to look at the term Qi. Now, I can only speak from my perspective. So for the people who on the poll said they've got loads of experience, please chuck stuff into the comments and the questions here, because I'm only really speaking from my perspective. But this translation of Gong as work never really felt right to me. Work was, it's a word that had very different connotations. Work to me is stuff that you do in order to support the family. Work is, you know, it's all kinds of other stuff. And I never quite got the relationship. I always liked the idea of mastery. And I'll tell you why I like the idea of mastery. Mastery to me is mastering a skill. And the subversive in me, the irritant in me, likes the idea that if you take the term master and discredit it, drop it down to the bottom of the hierarchy, you're doing everybody a favor. So mastery is mastering a skill. It's a bit like when you mastered learning how to ride a bike. It didn't make you the best cyclist in the world. It simply meant you could use that skill without worrying too much about it, without wondering what comes next. So there's an effortlessness within mastery. There's an ease within mastery. You're able to use the skill or use the tool effectively. So this to me is the idea of Gong. We're creating an effortless ability to use something. And if you then ask the question, what is the thing we're creating the effortless ability to use? The answer has to come out as Qi, because it's called Qigong. That's just obvious. So then the question has to be, what is Qi? Now, when I run sessions, and I've worked all over the place with an astonishing array of audiences, and I quite like asking this question, what is Qi? And what you tend to get is energy, vital force, breath, And I'm sure that we can probably add another 15 or 20 others really, really quickly if we want to. And the bottom line is that I'm going to say yes to all of those. It's everything. And that is, again, slightly unhelpful. What is qi? To me, and I'd like to share the screen, I'd like to do a screen share here, and at which point I can hear the tech host going, oh no, he hasn't shared the slides with me. So it's okay, I've got them, don't worry. I like going back and looking at the origin of what qi is. So I'm just going to share an image with you. And I would like to suggest that this is the view that I have out the door of my yurt, but it isn't. Okay, so if we look at the idea of qi and we take it back to about 250 BC, the character for qi was simply three lines. And these three lines, hopefully will come up in a second, there we are, denote vapor rising to form clouds. I'll say that again with a dramatic pause just to sound mystical. Vapor rising to form clouds. This, I think, is the best idea that we can ever create for qi. Because what it says to me is qi is an invisible force that creates change. So if we think of energy in the way that we use these terms, energy tends to be an invisible force, but it creates change. If you think of the ocean without wind on it, it's flat calm. You can't see wind, therefore wind is qi. You can't see electric running through cables, therefore electricity is qi. Qi is simply any invisible force that creates change. And this makes it more accessible. Because one of the things that I find difficult within the teaching of qigong is there can be an obsession with feeling qi. And I'm just not into it. Okay, I'll hold up my hand and say, this is why I first got involved in qigong. But the more time I've spent with it and the more people I've worked with, the less important this feels. And the reason it feels less important is that I no longer believe that you can feel qi. Dramatic pause, waiting for the world to end. Okay, I actually believe that what you feel is change. And this is really, really important. So on that basis, I'd like to just share an idea with you. And the idea is that we can only really enjoy relaxation if we take the time to get stressed. If we look at the way that we tend to use practices such as qigong, such as mindfulness, yoga, anything that people use for relaxation, it tends to be something that is used at a point during the week, and you'll come out of the session and you'll go, oh, that feels great. I need to do that again next week. And you can go and do it again next week. And next week it will feel just as good on one condition. And that condition is all the crap that you've just let go of. You go and pick it up again so that you can let go of it all over again, because it'll feel just as good to let go of it the next time. Yeah? This is why we get caught, because we love letting go of crap. We love that feeling of, ah. And so when we talk about this differentiation between qi as an invisible force and the sensation of change, if we start to ask ourselves the question, what is the change that we're feeling? We give ourselves the first clue as to whether we're actually making progress. And I'm sorry to say this, but if you've been spending the last 5 years feeling a ball of qi between your hands and it always feels the same, maybe you're just going around the same cycle constantly. Maybe what you're looking for is the day that you actually hold the space between your hands and you feel nothing. Because maybe when you feel nothing, there's nothing that needs to change on that day. So don't get caught up in the sensation. Enjoy the sensation. The sensation is your world moving. But enjoy the moments that there is no sensation, because then maybe that is a perfect moment. Okay, so this is sort of the main idea that I'd like to share. Now, I've called it cycles of suffering. And I think the idea of cycles needs to be pulled apart here as well, just a little bit. So the idea of a cycle to me really relates through to a lot of the work that sits behind traditional Chinese medicine. We look at five element theory, which is probably best described as five phase theory. It talks about a natural cycle. You see the image of yin and yang. This describes a natural cycle. There's all kinds of cycles that are really, really powerful and really important within our lives. You know, day and night. I feel tired, I sleep. I feel hungry, I eat. These cycles create that dynamic change that enables amazing things to happen. So there's nothing wrong with cycles per se. The issue that you get is that when you start to get caught in a cycle that is not really seeing you move forward, a cycle like I was caught in, and I can relate that cycle of getting caught in work and stress to not recognizing the relationship I had with my most basic need, which is to provide food and shelter for my family. It's very easy to tie your work in with this most basic need. And therefore it's very easy to actually find ways to use practices such as Qigong to support that need. So what I'd like to suggest is that there are two things that are really, really important when we practice Qigong. One is awareness. Awareness of what the sensation is, awareness of the change that we're feeling. And then the second thing that I think is really important is the ability to let go. Don't get rid of anything. Just give yourself permission to let go of things that don't serve you anymore. And that's where I'd like to come to with the practice. The practice is about creating awareness, a little bit like what we did at the beginning, where we expanded out and we created this connection, this awareness between the group. And then the second thing is this ability to let go. Now, at the risk of talking for too long, I'd like to tell you one story. And for those of you who've spent time with me before, you can probably go and put the kettle on because I tell this story to everybody.
Hey, John, would you like to unshare your slide so we could see your smile?
Thank you very much. This is why I need a tech host. Sorry, this is why I need a facilitator. I'd like to share one story with you. And this happened a number of years ago. It was in the UK. I was doing some work around stress with an adult education organization. And I won't give any more detail than that. But this guy came in and I describe him as the most frightening person I've ever met. Now, to put this into context, I have, I've got a story about having to juggle at gunpoint in front of the Saudi military. You know, I've been in some really dodgy situations in my life, but this guy still ranks as the most frightening person I've ever met. And he introduced himself by saying, "I live my life by three words, hate, kill, and destroy." I was with him for, it was supposed to be 5 minutes. And the person who was supposed to be with me left the room as soon as they could because they were just so freaked out by the guy. And he went on over the next half hour to talk about the voices in his head and what they were telling him to do. It was a piece around stress and anxiety. And it was alarming listening to the way he was talking. But within Qigong, there's this piece that we actually use when we work one-to-one with people where we will listen. Maybe not just to the words, but to the tone, look at the body language. We learn to listen. And he said this thing that just felt like something you could really question. And he described the voice as, "It's like this person who he named is shouting in my ear." And I was able to say to him, "What would it be like if that person was standing further away?" And it stopped him dead in his tracks. And he said, "What? I've not got to get rid of the voices in my head." And I was like, "No, why would you need to get rid of them? What would it be like if the person was standing further away, if you had a little bit longer to consider the information you were getting and consider your response to it?" And he said, "Everyone tells me I've got to get rid of the voices in my head." And I was like, "No, personally, I don't think they did. I think that's what he heard." And so he said, "Well, okay, well, how does this work?" And so he'd already spoken about his love of martial arts and guns and all kinds of other stuff. And I said, do you ever punch somebody on the in-breath? And he looked at me and said, no, you don't. You always punch somebody on the out-breath. That's always, yeah? Before you have an out-breath, before you say something, before you take a physical action, you always have an in-breath. What would it be like if you took the moment of that in-breath to create a little bit more space between you and the voice in your head. And I gave him a practice. And we chatted a little bit more and off he went. Believe me, if I smoked at that point, I'd have gone out and had 20. It was just like, whoa, that was a bit intense. He walked back into that center 3 months later, no longer homeless, no longer drug dependent, no longer alcohol dependent, and employed 3 months later. And he walked back in not to thank me or the people who he worked with for what they did for him. He came in to thank them for the idea. Ideas are powerful. And the idea enabled him to actually recognize what was going on and let go of it, not to get rid of it. So that's my invitation to you today. Work with ideas, build your awareness, and let go of the stuff that doesn't serve you. Okay, I've sort of blethered on for way too long. And I can see that we've got a few things coming up in the chat and a few things in the Q&A. So before we dive into practice, can I just ask Caroline, is there anything there that you'd like to throw at me?
Someone's just popped a comment in there saying that it's also the Chinese character for three. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. If you look at the development of the character, there's a number of things that happened. And the modern simplified form is the first adaptation of the character for three into the character for Qi. And then there was further adaptations because of there was some words that sounded very similar around the sustenance you get from food. And so therefore the idea of the rice bowl and yeah, it all got quite complex. But yes, it is. It's exactly the same one as the character for three.
Okay. And how does Qigong relate to Tai Chi? Is there a relationship there?
Okay, from my perspective, I don't think there is. But I'm going to frame that by saying I haven't studied much Tai Chi. The little bit of Tai Chi that I studied was at the sort of purest end of martial arts. I studied with a guy who trained the presidential guard at the Taiwanese Royal Palace. And his attitude was, if you can't kill somebody within two moves, you haven't even started to learn Tai Chi. And to see him work, it was the purest form of martial art. It was absolutely mind-blowing. And to me, Qigong has got nothing to do with that. But I'm saying this as sort of a Qigong purist. And I think that space in the middle where we're talking about more general health benefits, we're talking about mobility, we're talking about developing awareness. As a Qigong practitioner, it all looks like Qigong to me. As a Tai Chi practitioner, it all looks like Tai Chi. So in that middle ground, there is a meeting of the two ways, but I do consider them to be two very different systems that happen to meet in a middle ground that is probably not really either of them.
Really appreciate like you explaining your relationship with them both. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any thoughts that may be helpful when working with the process of letting go? That's a big question.
Yeah, I just want to say yes. Okay, carry on. let's have a play with that in the practice. I think that's probably the most useful thing to play with it in the practice.
Okay, let's practice.
Let's practice. Okay. So what I'd like to invite you to do, you can do this practice seated, but it's probably better to do it standing. So I'm going to demonstrate that this isn't just a weird fancy background. I am actually standing in a tent in the middle of Suffolk. And I have a tendency to roll up my sleeve. This isn't part of the practice. Please don't copy that bit. So what I'd like you to do is just find a comfortable standing posture. Now, what I mean by comfortable is just allow the breath to settle. So we can sort of have a look at the stance from the point of view of the breath. Okay, so if you straighten the legs, if you lock the knees back, you'll probably find it affects the breath. So what I'd like to ask you to do is just let go of the knees, just relax. And if that allows the breath to soften, you've made progress. You can shift the weight back and forth in the feet. And if you shift the weight to the heels, you'll probably feel the breath changes again. And as you shift the weight forwards, you'll probably find there's a point that the breath just flows more freely. So we're looking for those places that the breath flows more freely. Lift Bachwei, lift the crown. Allow the whole of the spine to be open. We're looking for a very comfortable stance. And then I'd like to share an idea with you. And the idea is, this is my house. And I've been living in this house all of my life. And I'm a hoarder. I filled it full of information. I filled it full of ideas. I filled it full of cultural reference points, all kinds of stuff. It's crammed full. Now, what the practice of Qigong is about is creating space in my house so that instead of it being full of thoughts and full of information that probably isn't that useful to me anymore, I'd like it to be full of blue sky. I'd like it to be full of Hunyuanqi. So the simple practice we're going to do is La Qi, and La Qi is simply expanding out, creating space, and gathering back. And you can do this with the breath, but it doesn't overly matter. The mind movement is more important than the movement of the breath. So what the movement is actually doing is just saying, I'm going to create space within my body for different things. I'm going to create potential. Now, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that you are already a Qigong master, because you're no longer wondering what comes next, because you know that what comes next is just expand out and gather back. You've already mastered La Qi. But what I want to do is I want to tune La Qi up. So if I clean my house up, if I tidy up the actual house that I live in, I'll tend to clear the kitchen up because that's the space that everybody comes into. So this is a bit like clearing the work surfaces in the kitchen. Now, I might want to adapt the movement slightly, maybe lift the arms up slightly, expand out from the chest, or middle dantian as we refer to it. And in this space, maybe I'm clearing out the lounge. And then if I want to sort of explore a bit more, maybe when the arms push out this time, turn the palms to face out and push all the way out and gather all the way in. Still the same idea, expanding out and gathering back. But now I'm in a different room, or maybe I'm even up in the loft. Within the practice of La Qi, we want to work with the entire body. So next time you push out, gather back into lower dantian, back into the abdomen. And we're going to come into a full practice of La Qi, and we'll expand it through the whole of the body. So in order to do this, to start with, I'm going to ask you to draw your feet closer together. The reason we draw the feet closer together is to create a single connection down into the earth and a single connection back into lower dantian. And then we're going to exaggerate the movement. So as we gather in, squat down, gather all the way in to the abdomen. It's like a Gollum moment. You're going, precious, mine. And then from here, expand out, become huge, engage the whole body. Everything opens out, all the way out into blue sky, out into Hunyuanqi. And then gently, draw back inside, squat down slightly, sink the tailbone down, gather in, expand out. gather in. The movement can get smaller and smaller, expand out. In. Out. In. And out. Continue just for a few more breaths by yourself. Creating space. Okay, so the next time you expand out, allow the hands to keep on pushing out. Keep on pushing out. Keep on pushing out. And we'll just adopt a posture here, just for a few breaths. And the idea here is the mind is connected all the way out. Out in blue sky. Your troubles aren't out in blue sky, your troubles are inside. So when we connect out here, we're in a completely clean space, a pure space. And then when we draw the awareness back inside, draw the hands back towards lower dantian, we then get a sense of what it's like inside. And pause inside. So in answer to the question, it's all about perspective. When we expand out into blue sky, we can release and relax. We can enjoy this pure space. We can enjoy Hunyuan Qi. And when we draw the awareness back inside, we can start to notice what's happening for us. But we'll work into a couple of other parts of the body. So expanding out. And this time, gather back into the chest. Doesn't matter which part of the chest. Gather back into the chest. And then expand out from the chest. So here we have middle dantian. We also have a space called Hunyuan Palace. Our relationship with this part of the body tends to be different to the relationship with the abdomen. So when we work here, we get different feelings, different sensations, different emotions. All of these are interesting, but all of these pass. Simply connecting out into blue sky and drawing blue sky back inside. And I'm not going to guide at all on what this sensation may be. It's your sensation. Enjoy it. Notice it. This is middle dantian. This is Hunyuan Palace. And then shift the awareness again, and we're going to come up into the space in the head, upper dantian. Keep the elbows low here. It saves the shoulders. We want the movement to be relaxed and easy. Create space. Draw blue sky back inside. Upper dantian and Shenji Palace. And I will direct the idea here slightly. Don't fill this full of information. Enjoy creating space, space between thoughts. In this space that new things happen. It's in this space that we plant seeds, that we create the potential for new things. A couple more times. And then the next time the hands expand out, I'd like them to rise up, up into the blue sky. And I'd like them to draw chi down. So draw the awareness down through the center of the head, the center of the chest, the center of the abdomen. We can then connect out through the legs into the earth and lift chi up. Draw chi down through upper dantian, middle dantian, and lower dantian. It's like a chi shower down through the whole body, moving chi effortlessly through the body. A few more times in your own time. Again, just enjoy. And then to finish the practice off, I'd like to use a slightly more ambitious movement. So next time you draw the hands down in front of the abdomen, allow them to pause in front of the abdomen, in front of lower dantian. And open the stance, open the feet, maybe slightly wider. Sort of settle in, relax. And then an idea, keeping the palms facing upwards, spiral the hands up. So you're connecting up into the blue sky. And then turn the thumbs forwards, keep the hands facing up and spiral the hands out into the far distance. Doesn't matter if it's not physically accurate. It's an idea. We're connected out into Hunyuanji. We've created space, we've released things. And then draw the hands back under the armpits in front of the abdomen, and then they move up and out and gather back. Up, out, and back. Up. Out and back. A few more times. When we expand up, we also expand down. We expand out in all directions. Then we draw chi back into lower dantian. So this is like a huge expression of la chi. The whole body is involved, gathering back into the center. Spiraling out in all directions. A few more times. And then the next time the hands get to the top, allow them to pause. And we're going to draw the feet back together again. And we're going to reverse the movement. So relax the hands down through the body to lower dantian. Squat down slightly. Then at lower dantian, push the little fingers back. Allow the hands to spiral out, up, and then gather back. So out and up. Gather back. Out and up and gather back. And then what I want you to do is just become lazy with the movement. It's just a movement that guides an idea. And spiral out and gather back. Find your perfect expression of that today. Allow the whole body just to work with this idea. If we can allow the awareness to breathe, it can expand out into blue sky and it can gather back. And then I'm going to ask you to make the movement even smaller. Work with the idea. Work with the idea. Spiral out into blue sky. Draw blue sky back inside. out into blue sky. Draw chi back inside. I want you to keep going with the idea, but I want you to see whether it's possible to just relax the hands to the side and just follow the breath. So the out breath connects out into blue sky, into this pure, clear space. It creates space, and then when we breathe in, we just invite space back in. Breathe out, let go, release. Breathe in, draw back space. Couple more times. I want the practice to become invisible. I want you to take it to a place that you actually feel as if you could do this while standing in a queue or driving a car, anything, anything in daily life. Can you use this practice of just taking a moment to expand the awareness out and gather it back? A few more times. Okay, then we'll draw the practice to a close. And there's only one rule that I'm interested in this session. And that's that when we finish the practice, spiral the hands out, all the way out, and then draw them back onto the abdomen, one hand on top of the other. I don't mind which way around. Bring the mind back inside. Come back into the body, back into the physical body. Bring the focus back inside. Quiet and centered, the whole body relaxed, the mind quiet, but full of blue sky, full of potential, full of chi. You just haven't got to do anything with it for the next few breaths. Just enjoy. Then release the hands to the sides and gently ease out. Okay. Take some time just to sort of come back. And let's come back and check in with people and see how things were. So just as sort of an idea, we were talking about awareness and we were talking about letting go. And awareness can be noticing the sensations that we have during practice. There's an idea here that actually anything that we notice is interesting. If we notice something's wonderfully comfortable, interesting, you know, we probably want to do it again. If we notice something is deeply uncomfortable, we probably don't want to go there. Those can be more interesting because maybe there's something that we need to change there, but, you know, we won't go there too much. So, any questions, any comments? We've still got a few minutes left.
Yeah. I had a couple of people vote on the same question, and it was about your terminology using the word mastery, asking if it's a little bit colonial.
I don't know. It's a term that I take issue with. And I think my main issue that I feel is that, to me, all Qigong leads to the same place. It leads to oneness. It leads to equality. And so any term that breaks that equality, any term that creates hierarchy, I feel doesn't really serve the purpose of Qigong. So for me, the term master, and I'm probably, you know, I'm educated in old school British public school. So master was the teachers were called masters. And if you referred to them face to face, you always called them sir. You constantly reinforced hierarchy. So I've probably got a chip on my shoulder about it. And yes, it probably does relate back to sort of all that sort of colonial culture that sits behind a lot of the upbringing that I have in the UK. So yes, probably there's a bit there. but I'm interested in breaking it. I'm interested in equality.
Okay. And someone thought there was a difference for male and female, which hand is on top and which is the bottom.
Thank you for that one. Okay, again, I apologise, this is a soapbox of mine. I have an attitude towards rules that I'm always curious where they come from and what they're there and what they're there for. When I first trained in Qigong back in the mid-90s, I trained in a Tibetan Buddhist form. And in that form, there was something called the tranquil hand seal. And the tranquil hand seal was fingers on top of the other and thumbs gently touching. And it was always given as a rule that for men, they put left hand on right, and for women, they put right hand on left. And it bothered me because it felt really uncomfortable to go the male way round. I was far more comfortable going the wrong way round. But as I relaxed into the practice, I noticed that it changed. I think what we really talk about, and it's interesting again here, because I've worked with quite a diverse range of people who've never come across the practice. If you give people the instruction to draw hands back and place them on lower dantian end, you'll tend to find men will bring the left hand in first and women will bring the right hand in first. But to me, it's not a rule, it's an observation. And I think all too often things that are observations about stuff that happen in practice become things that you impose on people within the practice. And I'd question the benefit of imposing it. So yes, there is a rule, I don't like it.
So you're a bit of a natural rebel.
Yeah, I'd say so. I always want to, I've always got this feeling that you need to be willing to break the practice. You need to be able to question the rules in order to really understand them. If all you do is follow somebody else's instructions, all you will ever be is a power limitation of the person who issued the instructions. It isn't to say that you don't respect the system, but I think you always need to be willing to explore. I think the whole thing here is about embodiment. What are you embodying? If you're embodying somebody else's belief systems, if you're embodying somebody else's attitudes, are you really being honest to yourself? Work with people who inspire you, work with people who ask you difficult questions, but listen to yourself.
That was a good answer.
Oh, I did one.
During the practice, I'm not going to name the person. During the practice, my body at times wanted to collapse and at times wanted to tremor. This happens to me often in Qigong and in life. They put in brackets, definitely a result of trauma. How do you recommend relating this into a practice?
There's a couple of ways to view this. To me, if you're working deeply with people across a period of time, so typically a retreat, you know, whether that's a weekend or it's a longer 10, 15 day retreat, you can go more deeply into these things. But if you're simply addressing them in an evening class, I would err on the side of caution. To me, when we experience tremor within Qigong, when we experience discomfort in Qigong, there's something there that we can work with. We can get through it. But sometimes the things that are most deeply seated will create the strongest responses within us. And to address those things in an evening class or in an online session, you need to listen to yourself. You need to be able to unpick it at the rate that is sensible to you. If you talk about shaking occurring, there's an interesting piece for me around standing meditation. So within the Jineng system, we use a form of standing meditation where we sort of arch the back slightly and gather back in, and we bring focus into lower dantian, and we would hold those postures. In this country, it's rare for them to go on for more than an hour, but if you're training in China, it can be 2 hours, it can be 3 hours that you're holding these postures for. And when you hold those postures, quite often you will get shaking. And the instruction I've always been given is the shake has come from somewhere, allow it to go somewhere. Because the shake can be it can be something that allows you to pass the time. If you know you're going to be standing on a rooftop for 2 hours, believe me, shaking is a lot more entertaining for the mind than standing there doing nothing. So when shaking occurs, allow it to occur. It's a natural thing. If you watch animals, once they've been stressed, they shake. It's a natural releasing, it's a natural rebalancing. Allow it to happen and allow it to pass, but always work in a safe way. So yeah, really what I'm saying is, in a short session, in an online session, listen to your body, allow it to change at the rate you're comfortable with. But if you're brave enough to actually step into it, do it in a retreat where you're properly looked after, properly taken care of, and you'll find that you can break through the most astonishing things.
That's really good advice, creating a safe space and a safe environment for yourself. And you were going to tell me a little bit about your Three Monkeys School of Qigong.
Ah, the sales pitch. I'll keep it short. Okay, we are a UK-based school. We specialise in something called Jineng Qigong. Jineng Qigong is a system that I find resonates very strongly with me. And the type of stuff we do here is the type of stuff you'll do on retreat. If you want to find out more about it, have a look at the website. I'm hoping that the camera's clear enough that you can see the address down here, but I'm sure it'll be shared in the chat as well. And if you like what you see, sign up to the newsletter, and then at the end of the month we'll be sending out codes to people so that you can get the online courses at the best possible price we can offer them at. All I would ask you to do, have a look. If you like it, give us your details, and as a thank you, we'll send you a voucher, a voucher code for an Udemy course, if that's how you pronounce it, that we've recorded.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So thank you everyone for joining us today, and thank you very much, John. It was, I really, really enjoyed it. I was totally there with you all the way through. If you enjoyed it as much as I did, please jump into the coffee break rooms and we can continue the chat there. And we've also got our Facebook group, and the links for that are going to be going into the chat now. Once again, thank you to our sponsors. And as always, the recordings are going to be available for 48 hours. But if you want to if you want to watch John over and over again or listen to his voice, you can get the full content. Your face made me smile then. You can get the full content library. And in addition to the full content library, you get notes, you get a full learning list, which takes you a logical way through all of the conference. And you get audios as well, which are my personal favorite because it means that I can listen wherever I am. During the conference, there is going to be 50% off. For me, I think it's a great gift that you can give to yourself personally or professionally. And it's a really nice way to say thank you to us at the conference. You know, you buying the recordings and that content library makes this conference free to everyone else. So the link is in the box there for you today. Once again, thank you for joining us today. And I just want to hand back to John to hear his top embodiment tip in one sentence.
This was the bit I was dreading. I think I'm going to pick up on something I said earlier. And if you're going to work with an embodiment practice, don't just do it at the time you practice. Integrate it. Make it part of your life. Take it to the point that you can make it so easy to work with that you can do it while you're driving the car. Then you don't get the benefit for half an hour a day. You get the benefit 24 hours a day. Embody it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.